Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle of Murray at Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're here at Bumabipa Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome Black. National Talk Black, have your say, and Yarn Up Strong, all ears here for your daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, 1 in 3 veterans struggle to find work. Not-for-profit launches giveaway Foster to support, with over 2 in 5, that's 45% of veterans, reporting difficulty adjusting back to civilian life. The traditional period after leaving service can be very challenging for Australian Defence Force, ADF, members, that is. In fact, with more than 500,581,000 Australians have served in Australian Defence Force, ADF, it is estimated that 261,450 members of the ADF have or will experience difficulty adjusting to civilian life. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Mark Diplock, a former Australian Army member and Chief Operating Officer at Salute for Services. And we have Mark on the line. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, great, mate. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Mark?
I'm based in Brisbane, but currently today up in very wet and damp North Queensland.
There you go. Welcome to the North. Thank you, my friend. So here we're talking about not-for-profit launches 86,000 giveaway for Australian veterans to create community of transitional support. Look, money is a tool. Great to have the money at the table, but still a lot of work to be done in regarding supporting our veterans, yes?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we were quite lucky to be donated the Toyota Hilux to give away.
Yes.
What we've been able to do is use that as a platform to inform the veteran community of different support and services that are out there. You know, since we've put that out there, we've had well over 3,000 veterans and family members reach out for some form of support, whether that's transitional support, where either leaving the ADF or those that have already left that have actually struggled to, you know, get back into the civilian life, all the way through to financial aid and assistance as well.
So if you look at it, it's a gap that needs to be closed. When you look at our veterans, and then, I don't know, it sort of comes to my mind is the discrimination in regarding, I don't know, elderly or disabled or whatever the case may be. So a lot of work needs to be done in that space, yes?
Yeah, it is. It is. A lot of people think that you know, all veterans are. The narrative is that all veterans are broken, and that's just not true.
Sure.
You know, there is quite a number. You know, 45% of all veterans transitioning do struggle transitioning, but a lot of that is things like, you know, that loss of sense of identity, those skills translation in you know, if I'm in infantry in the Defence Force, that doesn't really relate too well into, you know, an office-based job in the civilian space. So it's about, you know, reteaching them, retraining them,
exactly,
and getting those skills, and also making employers aware of, you know, the benefits of bringing on a veteran. Yeah. You know, the skills that they do have and the way that they think and the way that they do things is just second to none.
Well, and if you look at some of the attributes there, we're talking about disciplined, team player, you know, regimental, and they're good tools to have in an office space and part of a team membership, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, that ability that, you know, you may have a corporal or, you know, a low-ranking ADF member, but they've already still led teams. You know, they've
exactly
managed their own section, they've managed their own teams. To bring, be able to bring them in into a workplace and have those skills already is just, it's great.
And then I'm looking at the leadership side of thing, as you pointed out there, but also respecting hierarchy, leadership above them, whether it be a sergeant, lieutenant, major, whatever the case may be. I mean, that comes into play too, doesn't it?
It definitely does. You know, being able to employ someone that, you know, follows the rules to a T, which is great that those ADF personnel have, that, you know, they know which way's up, which way's down. They get in, knuckle down, get the job done. That's why one of our programs, the Combat to Career program, vitally important is, you know, it's ensuring that the veteran and the defence member gets into a role with longevity that they want to go into.
Yes.
Not just, you know, I've left defence, I need to find new employment, I'm going to go get the first job I can. It's around, you know, guiding them and teaching them around where they want to go longevity-wise.
Yes.
And helping them to sort of translate that into a pathway.
And Mark, you're the Chief Operating Officer at Salute for Services. We're talking any, if not all, industries. You're open to anything, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've already got a lot of industry bodies that have come on board. Everything from medical, even back into the defence sector as well.
Yeah.
Civil construction, we've had some great companies, like things like Shamrock Civil. Mm. They're a national civil service provider, and they've jumped on board. You know, at the moment, aviation, even Aviation Australia, have jumped on board and are supporting the program, which has been fantastic. All the way down to mum and dad companies, you know, that may only have two or three employees, but you know, they see the benefits of putting on a veteran.
Yeah, fantastic. And then the other thing I'm thinking of, if you've got soldiers who were in a space, an industry as such, they've probably been working old school, but they've got the foundation of that industry. Then they step up, easy for them to transition to the high technical side of things, if that's the case.
Yeah, and we do see that. You're spot on there. We're finding those veterans who have, you know, served for quite a long time, and maybe that higher ranking officer or whatnot, do find it a little bit easier to translate their core service skills.
Yes.
And do find it easier to find those roles. But there are still those that are out there that do struggle within that. And when I say struggle, it's just more around that translation and getting their foot in the door. Once they're sat down in front of the employer, it's a given. You know, most employers jump on the chance of putting a veteran in once they see and understand the skill set and, you know, realise that, yeah, that person, you know, there is a percentage of veterans who have, you know, some physical injuries, bad backs, bad knees, shoulders, yes, those sorts of things. And, yes, and some do have some, you know, mental health conditions, which are all manageable. Exactly. And it doesn't define who they are. They, you know, are great employees. They get the work done and become really integral parts of organisations.
Well, mate, hats off. We salute you. Pardon the pun. Salute for Services. A fantastic vehicle in looking after our veterans and giving them a vision, an opportunity, and that's what it's all about. And we're all in this together, aren't we, Mark?
We definitely are. Thank you for having me on.
Nice talking with you. Take care, my friend. All the best. Bye-bye.
You too. See you, mate.
Adele Yande, Mark Diplock, his name is, former Australian Army member and Chief Operating Officer at Salute for Services. And not-for-profit launches, $86,000 giveaway for Australian veterans to create a community of transitional support. So, look, fantastic. Using that money as a tool to create more money, to create opportunities for our veterans. And, yeah, look, all the benefits in taking on a veteran is, well, second to none in regard to discipline, early rises, respecting team attitude, so to speak, and also respecting seniors, whether it be manager, CEO, whatever the case may be, chairperson. So a great opportunity to for benefits in taking on board a veteran with your workforce too, Deadly. This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Home right now while the mangoes are ripe. Frangipani is starting to bloom and the blue bone is starting to bite. mum, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Connect the place of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Lazy breeze blowing through your mind. Sky blue sea, catch your feet there and it's time. Driving up the dusty red highway, I got this freedom flowing wind in my hair. Soaking up the wild desert country. All my worries are gone, I don't care.
Hey mum, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Connect the place of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Without reason to live now. We're fighting, we're solving our end of the white, the so-called the right and power. And as we grow, I'll be seen as we go. We live to be told, now know the cost, now the soul been lost. You don't know. Stones. You don't know my tears flow for lost souls. Black stones, my tears flow for lost souls. And now, I called you forgotten. And now, our people broken. And now we're sidetracked by wars, the true cause ignored. My mind has to be set free. I'm a wanderer, kept captive, slave to the dollar, white collar. What you teaching me with your heart of stone? And the black stones, you don't know. Stones. You don't know my tears flow for lost souls. Black stones, my tears flow for lost souls. To the brothers of red robes, to the bleeders of blood nose, our role is a pack rose, giants of the FIFA full from, to the warriors crumb. Deafening war drums, down to the south sands, over mother's voice singing to the young ones, music for one and all.
Yeah, that's a beautiful track there. That's Uncle Willie by Scrap Metal here on your daily program. Listen, Uncle Trev here, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Here in tropical North Queensland, tropical, it's overcast at the moment. They call it liquid sunshine. We've been having a lot of that at the moment, but all good. Every day above ground is a good day. Next segment, we've got Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Perry's over at Edmonton and also Brinsmead and Deadly IGA. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media, Healthy Living, Healthy Lifestyle, to Deadly. And we catch up with Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy. And also he brought his bodyguard, and that's Steve. And Stephen Grant, good morning to both of you. And also we've got their bodyguard is Bo Motlop Pennyfather, and he's with the Cairns Regional Domestic Violence Services. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Good morning, Trevor.
Fantastic. Good to see you all.
Morning, Bruss.
Morning, brother. Brother, well, I got you there. Bo, thank you for coming to the program. Bo Motlop Pennyfather. Start with who your mob were you from, brother?
Grandfather's Wagadugam from Mubiak Island.
Yes.
Grandmother's Jitterbal, brother man here.
Yes. Connection there. Well, that means you can borrow money off him.
I'm going to after this.
Thank you. That's short loan there. I just text you 50, brother.
also got connections to New Zealand, Aotearoa, through the Ngāpuhi tribe.
You're beautiful.
Yep.
All right, lovely. Thank you. And here on the Big Island, over to you, Steve. Who are your mob? Where are you from, brother?
Hey, Trevor. Mm. Proud Jitterbal Gidamon boy from the Mission Beach Tully. Raven, so Kasserine Coast.
Yes, Gumboot City.
Correct.
Senior Sergeant Len Delay, hillbilly up in the Tablelands, but drive down to Edmonton Police Station.
Yep.
Every day, brother. So
every
you
day.
You know every turn on the gillies, don't you, bro?
Oh, don't ask me how many there is.
I was going to ask you that.
I start counting, I'll fall asleep.
Yeah, thank you. Don't do that. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, welcome to the program, all of you. Thank you, gentlemen. So we're talking about a fantastic space at Edmonton. And so we talk about youth crime, which is way up there, but way above that, and eclipse it is your words, domestic violence.
Domestic violence, that's right.
We need a lot of work in that space, don't we?
We do. And look, that ties us up with a lot of our jobs at Edmonton, as most police stations across the state. But we do have another resource now at the station with an embedded domestic violence worker.
Yes.
Who is works with the Cairns Regional Domestic Violence Service.
So they're contracted. They're not police under the police employment.
That's
service,
right.
QPS,
Yep. So they work out of our station and then support victims of domestic violence. And so it's quite handy because sometimes our crews can get quite busy.
Sure.
These workers are trained and have the time to spend with the victim to drill through their relationship and that history.
Sure.
And then they can provide us with advice on what sort of direction we need to take to make them safe.
Good, fantastic. Over to you, Bo, Motlop Pennyfather, because you're with the Cairns Regional Domestic Violence Services. Are you not?
That's correct.
And tell us about what the job entails when sitting at the table with QPS.
Yeah, so we have four domestic violence service specialists that are embedded in the police stations, four police stations in the region, as Glenn said. They're there to provide support for victim survivors of domestic and family violence who attend the police station.
And 99% of them would be females.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, yep. Yes. Yep. And all four workers are also female.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
We can offer a crisis intervention, which includes risk assessment, safety planning, information about DVOs, the court process, and can assist with private applications. Informations and information stuff, referrals.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff there.
And then the communication with the QPS. As Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay alluded to, helping them in that space for which way to go now.
Mm.
Here we are, which way yarning. Which way to go now in regarding supporting the victims as such, yes?
Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
There's a lot of occasions where police will form an opinion on whether we need to take a domestic violence application out or not.
Sure.
This is helpful because some of these victims maybe don't need to go through that court process.
Okay. Yep.
A lot of people may need just that support around their relationship.
Mm.
They're not getting that message now just from the police. That's the Domestic Violence Service Centre is also able to provide that advice, and it's nice to not think that just the police are making these decisions, that there's another agency that's assisting us.
But it would be sad to say, but probably true to say, Cairns Regional Domestic Violence Services would probably sometimes know some of these victims, because this is sometimes an occurring thing, ongoing thing, isn't it?
I would say so. Most definitely, yeah. Yep,
so that helps in regard to the vision or the next step or, the support is what we're talking about here. Yep. That would come into play too, wouldn't it?
For sure. Mm. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah,
most definitely.
So, first of its kind, when did this start with the QPS? I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, so this is a result of our Commission of Inquiry. And so this is one of the recommendations is that there is an embedded officer with the police station. Certainly, some of our larger stations up in the far north here are the ones that are benefiting from that.
Yes.
It's probably not practical to have this in smaller stations.
Sure.
We're certainly not saying no to the assistance. It really is very helpful for our guys, just to have that support for the victim when they come to the police station. There's people that have got time to sit down with them really nut out the correct procedures.
So the setup at Edmonton Police, the worker in this space would have an office as such?
Correct. Yeah, they've got their office there. Yep.
Oh, good. So there's communication, conversation,
so
private, and they're locked away.
That's right.
Let's talk to the victim.
They've got a private room right up the back away from our day room.
And, okay.
So if there's a victim that probably doesn't want to tell their story to a police officer.
Sure.
You know, we've got the perfect person for them to speak to now.
So, of course, both the workers, support workers, aren't wearing a Queensland uniform, of course, wearing a police uniform.
No, they're not. No, they're just civilian clothes. Casual.
Sure, yeah, casual, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, good. Well, if you look at this space, I think it's a great space to have it across the state, if not the country. Well, we're talking big dollars there, but we're talking about protecting the victims.
Yeah, look, that's
so they don't become a fatality is what we're talking about here.
That's
you know
right.
What I mean?
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Yep. So that's the end goal. Certainly is to make them victims safe and feel secured and heard when they do come and tell their story. Mm. That's the beauty of it is that they've got time to spend with them.
For our listeners who just tuned in, yeah, National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, on our segment, Which Way Yarning, with the Edmonton Police, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and we have Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. And we have Beau Motlop, Pennyfather, who's with the Cairns Regional Domestic Violence Services. So I've just found out, you all just found out, they brought to the table this fantastic service, which started September last year, I believe, Senior Sergeant.
Yeah, so September last year, it was rolled out to Cairns and Mariba stations.
Cairns and Mariba, yep.
Yep, so since, I believe it's about a month, we've been operating from Edmonton and Smithfield stations as well. And so the women that are assisting us here, they also rotate around those stations. So,
okay.
So, you know, with their roster, they might be at Edmonton 1 week. They can be at a different station the next week.
Rotating roster,
We don't just have the same person at our station. So, but every day, Monday to Friday, we have someone there.
So we're talking about here in Far North Queensland.
Mm.
Is this happening down south as well?
So statewide, correct.
Statewide thing. Mm. Okay, fantastic. But not all stations, of course.
No, know. That's right. No. Like I say, you know, when we've got a small one- and two-man station that don't have the calls for service, it's probably not practical to have them there.
Sure.
But certainly, you know, places like Cairns, Edmonton, Smithfield, Mariba, there's definitely the need for this type of resource.
Mm. And look, when you look at it, it's not a discriminatory thing, black or white. Domestic violence is domestic violence. And as I mentioned before, when we look at the figures, about 99% is male on female or children, what have you, you know. Mm-hmm. So we need to fix this. Can we talk about that space, Senior Sergeant Lendelai, in regard to domestic violence and there's an assault charge as such? How far or what is it that you do in regarding QPS in policing that matter, and how does a person get charged, and what's the process, how long they're going to stay away for when they've been charged?
Look,
paint that picture, please.
Look, straight off, we'll start with the simpler ones that we go to that end up with a no DV. Okay, so we can argue. There's no problem with having an argument.
Sure.
That happens in relationships.
Yes.
And so that there's that low level disagreements in relationships that doesn't need any intervention at all. The risky ones for us is the domestic violence where we say other action, okay? So we're not actually going to take an application out before the courts. So we're saying that domestic violence has happened, okay? But for whatever reason, it's not necessary to take an application out. And that could be simple as, you know, this argument has escalated to the point of, you know, yes, something did get broken or someone was harmed, but one is whether the victim was fearful.
Okay.
Okay. Whether they will take into consideration whether they feel the need for an order. And look, I've been to those relationships where sometimes, you know, there may be that the victim is actually physically bigger than the actual perpetrator, and they're saying, look, I'm fine. This is a one-off incident.
Okay.
I know I reviewed one last week where it was a one-off incident where the actual person that had, the respondent or the perpetrator had hadn't drank alcohol for a very long time, had because of a death of a relative engaged in some
and that escalated the situation.
And it just escalated. And look, his partner was quite fine. She said, look, he this is not this man.
Okay.
So that's going to be your DV other ones. And then of course we've got the ones where we feel that the victim needs a protection. We'll take out an application for a domestic violence order. That gets heard before the court. Magistrate will.
And while that's all going on, the victim is still living with the perpetrator.
Not in all instances. I mean,
get removed, or
yeah, we've got other powers there where we can you know, evict someone from their
separate,
house.
Yep.
It just depends on how serious the DV is and what sort of threats are you know, the victims are under. So. Look, if a magistrate makes the order, that's when we have these conditions in place of whether it's no contact. The range of conditions can go, they're endless, you know. It's pretty well, they're all geared to make that victim safe. And then if those conditions are breached, then, of course, we bring the perpetrator back to court for a breach of the order.
Mm. I'm just speaking from inexperience, naive to it all.
Yeah.
My beautiful mother and father, beautiful upbringing. I mean, my beautiful wife, 34 years marriage. It's not in our vocabulary as such, so I'm naive to how it all works and how do we protect our women and our children out there. For those deadly listeners out there who are tuned in, some of them are in this situation, so what do we do to protect them? And we're talking prevention here, aren't we? You know, gentlemen. So it's great that this the QPS now have this fantastic space platform, Cairns Regional Domestic Violence Services at the table, and this is happening across the state, but not all stations.
Yeah.
Like I said, it all reverts back to money. This is not an expense. This is an investment. I think it's a great concept.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's a good relationship. Mm. I will say it is an initiative between Department of Families, Senior Disability Services, and Child Safety.
Yes.
And QPS. Yeah. So it it brings a few organisations together to the table for this to happen. So,
yeah, you can add to that, Steve.
Yeah, it's just the other thing. Like I said, what Glenn says also is Edmonton Police. They're out in the job doing roads where they can come and talk to organisations like this.
Yeah.
In their time.
Well, they're in the office. They're correct. In an office there, under the same roof.
While the other staff members are out there on the job doing other police matters.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of time.
So a police officer would bring a victim in a situation back to your station and then leave it with the Regional Domestic Violence Service team.
Correct. Yep. They can bring one back. Look, we get a lot of front counter inquiries as well.
Sure. Okay, yes. Yep.
And straight away we can just say, yep, we've got the perfect person to
speak
back
office,
to.
Correct. Chap, yep. You know? Yeah. And as you said, feeling more comfortable to talk with the... a non-police officer.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Look, like, Bo. Just as you were saying before, Trev, like, naive to it all, like, I kind of was too. I sort of had my head buried in the sand about just how rife it is in Cairns at the moment, in a small town.
A small town, okay.
During my first few months at the service centre, I was actually just blown away by the amount.
How long you been in the service, my friend?
Just going on 5 months.
Five months, okay.
Approximately,
So even that 5 months time, the lid was lifted, so to speak.
you could say that, yeah. And I decided to sort of get into the field because I am a man and there's not too many men in the industry.
Mm. Yep.
But it definitely... Statistically, the males or the men are the perpetrators.
Sure,
so
exactly.
It's they say it's a woman's problem, but it's more of a man's problem or a human problem.
Sure. I speak with a bit of weight. As I said, 34 years marriage, what have you? Never ever laid a hand on my beautiful wife. Never will. You know what I mean? But it's that love and respect. And when we're talking about a marriage, we're talking about meeting halfway, compromising. Sometimes you have to go over halfway in some situation, but yeah, there's no, like I said, she's my wife, but I don't own her.
Mm. Yeah,
she's still an individual, and you can't force love. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, you're probably thinking the same thing. How can she fall out of love with this? You know what I'm saying? What are you laughing at, Steve? What I'm saying? You're thinking that very thing. You know what I mean? But you can't force love, and that's the sort of.
No.
So, and then we need that education to our men. You know. Dad always said you got to be man to yourself before before anybody else. Mm. That man in the mirror, you know.
That's a good one.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, you know what I mean?
That's it. Ice cube.
And so when you look at the fatality in this country, if not the world, regarding domestic violence, it's horrific, isn't it?
It is, and it always strikes a chord because,
I was just going to say, love and thoughts and prayers going out to families out there who have lost loved ones because of it. Yes.
Yeah. I think quite naturally most men want to protect women. I don't, you know, that's why it becomes so confusing when these events take place. You know, we can talk about the physical side of things, and but also now
abuse all levels.
You know, domestic violence. We've also included recognition of coercive control, and that the impact that has on relationships.
Yes.
And look, to make it very simple, coercive control. You don't own your partner.
No,
that's
exactly.
As simple as I can make it. So, you know, you don't tell them what they wear, what money they spend, who they spend time with. Any of that.
Outside the physical abuse, exactly.
Yeah. So, look, there's been a lot of training for the QPS of late in that area where we, you know...
Hey, that's a good question. So QPS get trained in this space as well and part of your career pathways, yes?
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, I've just done another two-day training course just in the last few months, but, you know, last year I spent 5 days in Brisbane.
Sure.
So, yeah, we're heavily invested because, you know, and so we should be because it is a lot of our work.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Look, a very important conversation. It's great to hear that there's a space now for protecting our victims out there. Regional Domestic Violence Services.
Yeah, we're on Abbott Street in town.
Mm-hmm.
Been there for years. It's been a service for women.
Well, okay.
Anyone.
And would that be across the state? There's offices across the state?
There's a couple.
Yeah.
There's a couple.
So if you don't want to go to the police station, you can go to the office direct.
Mm. You can. That's correct.
Yep. Yep. All right. But the fact is you can go to the police station as well.
Yeah. Correct. Yep.
And there's someone there, hopefully, in the back office. And that's Steve?
There's also, I believe you can make the report on PoliceLink, 131444.
Sure.
If you don't want to have that conversation with a police officer.
Mm. Third person, like neighbour next door, can they report?
Sure, we're more than happy.
It's all confidential, of course?
Yeah, look, up to a certain extent. Certainly if things are going to progress to court and people are needed to provide their versions, then that, you know, we have to be honest that version may be, required.
From third person
But look, you know, we really need to look after the vulnerable and, you know, these victims of domestic violence, they fit into that category and, you know, I would hope that all neighbours, friends, family are all reporting.
And just to finish off on the conversation regarding how it all works, so if a perpetrator is charged and now they've got I don't know what the court order is, they've got to stay away from the other person, the other half. Mm. How's that all come to play and is there a time limit and... sometimes sad, but the victim then reaches out where they shouldn't.
Correct.
But then they're sort of opening the doorway again for the relationship to get back together. I mean, can you explain that, please?
Yeah, you're just opening up the windows of complexity into domestic violence.
Is that right, have I?
But yeah.
How rude am I? I'm sorry.
You're dead right. It does happen. And, you know, again, we are still always focused on protecting that victim. And look, sometimes they do want to... it can be part of the cycle of violence, can't it? You know, you want the violence to stop and not the relationship.
The love of the
look,
person.
It is very complex, but we work through that. My main message when I'm speaking to a respondent or the perpetrator is that order is their responsibility. They'll understand the conditions of the order quite well.
Yep.
So if the victim is going to reach out to them, that perpetrator needs to protect themselves understanding the order and saying, look, if I do this, am I in breach of the order and will I be charged and potentially jailed for these offences? So,
yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Yep. It can be very messy, can't it?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So here we are. Great conversation. Very important conversation. All you deadly listeners out there on this segment, Which Way Yarning with Edmonton Police, and we're talking about how QPS have instated regional domestic violence services within their precinct, which is fantastic. Not all precincts, but that is the goal. Mm. And as we talked about before, we are screaming about youth crime. Well, domestic violence is way above that, and there's a lot of work to be done in that space as well. But, gentlemen, thank you. Bo, good to see you again, my brother.
You too, bro.
All the best. Stevie?
Thank you, Trev. No worries. Yep.
Thank
next
you,
week.
Brother. See you all later on. Take care. Keep smiling. We'll talk soon, boys.
Thanks, Trev.
All right. So there is a beautiful yarn, a very important yarn. And, look, education for myself who don't know that space, which is probably a good thing. But, look, thoughts, prayers going out to everybody out there who's in that situation or who have been. But yeah, we need to work together. You mob, get it together, and protecting our women and our children, and our brothers out there. As the old saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself. But get support, get help. We want the best you being out there to help support and look after our beautiful women and children. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
People dancing and singing.
Kalpi Pulka, that's Colour Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. BBM Bumbaribip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, let's look at headlines. The Guardian. Queensland plans to build a 2032 Olympic stadium on significant Indigenous site. So despite Premier David Crisafulli ruling it out during an election, the government is expected to announce plans for a stadium at Victoria Park. The Queensland government is expected to announce that a significant preserved site of Indigenous heritage in central Brisbane, a massacre site on a song line, will host the main stadium of the 2032 Olympics. Premier David Crisafulli repeatedly promised not to build a new stadium to host the athletics during last year's election and also specifically ruled out building one in Victoria Park. But the government is today expected to adopt a reported recommendation from its Games Independent Infrastructure and Coordination Authority to break the promise. Opponents have already held protests against the plans before they have even been announced. The Save Victoria Park group has reportedly briefed lawyers in a potential court challenge against the stadium built, arguing the project will destroy valuable green space and must be stopped due to the site's significance to First Nations communities. Victoria Park was converted into a golf course in 1931, but Brisbane City Council developed plans in 2020 to convert the 64-hectare site back into a park. Victoria Park has really rich Indigenous history, and one of the centrepieces of the park will be the lake, Lake Barabin, and that has a wide Indigenous history as well. The Lord Mayor, Adam Shiner, said in 2020. So that's where it is. You've got protesters against that already, and that's where it sits in regard to the Olympics in 2032 in Brisbane. So may have to go back to Plan B. I don't know. There's the thought. There's the process. It's come to the time where Trinity Trevor signs off. Your mob, I thank you very much for your company. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, 1 hour program. And come to you live from the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindi Country. BBM Bumbaribip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So a big shout out to you all. Thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Stay tuned. Got the news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team, as well as all First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, the Big Island. There it is. Stay tuned, you mob. Too deadly.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan, or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it. Be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
Hey, someone down here. Can I get a taxi to the Mangrove Hotel, please? T.I. taxi driver going round and round. A giant traffic circle in a tiny town. Knows everybody's business. What's going on? T.I. taxi driver going.